Good morning, welcome. Let me add my welcome to the welcome that's already been given. It's amazing. The worship this morning was amazing. Thank you for the word. Where's Beth? I can't see Beth. The worship was fantastic this morning. Thank you so much. We're going to start this morning with a little story. A few weeks ago, our small group, people in the church are all part of small groups. Our small group decided to have an outing to go up Penavan. Now, those of you that don't know, Penavan is the largest mountain in South Wales and the south of England. So it's quite a high trek. And the great thing for us in Swansea is that the mountain is about 35 minutes away from here. So we made a plan to go on a Saturday morning, and it was one of those beautiful Saturday morning days that we had in September. And we were going to go really early, so we left really early, and it was a beautiful blue sky. And we got to the bottom of Penavan, and loads of other people had a similar idea to us. It was like a motorway of people going up this mountain. So we went up this mountain. It took about an hour and a half to get up there. And when we got to the top, the views were amazing. The views were spectacular. It was blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. It was an absolutely glorious day. And it was still only about 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, let me give you a little tip. When you go up a mountain, don't take me, because I took a bottle of water. Thankfully, the people that went with me, they were the best people to go with. For example, there was Manoah. We got to the top of the mountain. Manoah gets out a gas stove, a gas canister, a saucepan, and he starts cooking us bacon butties. Now, that is pretty impressive, isn't it? Then Demelza, she's there as well. She gets out some sausages and some hot dogs. I mean, we were having a great time. Let's see if I can just show you a little picture of it here. So there we are, on the top of Penavan, having a fantastic time, food. I mean, there was loads of people up there. They were really jealous. They were thinking, I'd be like to be with that group over there. Now, we were having a really great time, and blue sky, absolutely beautiful views. And then suddenly, we heard a noise. And we were all looking at each other and going, what's that noise? We couldn't work out what the noise was. And the noise was getting louder and louder and louder. And it was so loud, you began to feel your body shake with vibrations because the noise was so loud. It was like something going right through you. And then it was like one of those movies. Along the side of the mountain, up rose the RAF rescue helicopter. And it just kind of rose up and suddenly it was there. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. That's what the noise is. That's what the power is. That's what the vibrations were. And the initial thought that you have is someone fallen over? Is there some danger? But it became apparent very quickly that it was a training exercise for this helicopter. The reason we knew is because there was a man sitting on the side of the helicopter with his legs dangling out. And we could see he was so close, he had red socks on. So that's how close they were. I think they were there because they could smell the bacon butties, personally. So first of all, this helicopter comes around and he's hovering, and then he goes off swooping along some of the ridges of the mountain, and then he comes back and he's just kind of hovering there, and we can again feel the noise and the power. And then a bit later on, he goes way in the distance, and you can't see him, and you can't hear him, but you can see the effect of the helicopter, because he was over a lake, and there was a big thing in the lake that was happening. You could see the effect of the helicopter. And then he came back, and he was waving at us, and we were waving at him, and everybody on the top of the mountain, even though it was a beautiful day, this kind of took our experience up to another level. And some of the things that I experienced on that day, the power, the noise, the wind, the vibrations, it reminded me of a story that we're going to look at in a minute this morning. It's a story of Pentecost, and it's a story of when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples for the very first time. But before we do that, we're just going to go back a little bit and look at who is the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're just going to look at who is the Holy Spirit, just to put in context what's going to happen in the story. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is God. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit is God, and he was there with God the Father and God the Son in the beginning. And he was there at the beginning of creation. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were all there together as part of creation. They were there with part of it said that God breathed life into man. The Holy Spirit was there when man was created. And all the way through the pages of the Bible, we see and we read the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is across every page of the Bible. And also we understand the Holy Spirit is God, because when we become a Christian, when we become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. You see, our spirits, before we're a Christian, our human spirits are dead to God. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, when we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, and we follow Jesus, and we believe in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit comes in, and our spirits become alive to God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus says that it says, he describes it like this. He says, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born from water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Human life comes from human parents, but spiritual life comes from the Spirit. And when we begin a journey with God, and when we begin a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. That means everybody in this room who believes in Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So God, the Holy Spirit, lives in each one of us, which is really, really exciting. But also the Bible says that he is a person. Jesus says this in John. He says this. I haven't got it on the slide. He says this. The helper, I will send the helper to you. The helper, he's describing the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I have told you. The helper is the Holy Spirit who you will send in my name. So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is not only God, but he's a helper. He's a person that's going to come and live inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit of Jesus who comes to live inside each one of us. That word there, helper, can be translated, some translations call it comforter or counselor or advocate. All of these are words that are trying to describe the person of the Holy Spirit who comes inside of us. You see, Jesus had been doing 3 years of ministry. And all the people that were hanging out with him, the disciples, there was 12 of them, and there's lots of other men and women who were with Jesus. They've been walking around and ministering and going across Galilee and Jerusalem with Jesus. Jesus says to them, when he's about to go back to heaven, he says, go into Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a gift that he's going to give to the disciples. Jesus is promising that he's going to give them the Holy Spirit when he's gone. Now these disciples, these are people that have been through the emotions with Jesus. You see, in the story of Jesus, leading up to Jesus, when Jesus came to die on the cross, Jesus has been trying to tell the disciples, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and the Roman authorities are going to capture me and they're going to put me to death. And the disciples kind of, I'm sure they understood it, but they didn't fully understand what was happening. And they've been with Jesus and they believe that he was the Messiah and he was going to set them free. And the night before Jesus died, Jesus gets arrested and most of his friends run away. They scatter because these soldiers are there. That's scary. I would run away as well. And then Jesus is taken in to see the Pilate and Herod. And then he's taken away and he's crucified. And these people, they must have had, we don't understand what's going on. The emotion of being with Jesus and all the joy and all the fun they had with him and all the things they were learning, suddenly their hopes, so it seemed to them, had gone, but they didn't understand everything. Because as we know in the story, 3 days later, Jesus comes back to life. And so they're overwhelmed with joy, and they're overwhelmed to see Jesus back again, and Jesus has come back to life. And I'm sure the disciples on this journey were really, really, the emotions, it's very difficult to understand the full extent of the emotions that they were feeling. They've gone from being sad to glad, from being downcast and not understanding to amazed and happy that Jesus is back with them. But in the 40 days that they had with Jesus, Jesus again teaches them and hangs out with them and does lots of miracles, and they see Jesus lots of different occasions. But he says to them again, I'm going to go away again. So these people have gone from being with Jesus, then they're sad when he's died, then they're overwhelmed with joy when he comes back to life. He tells them again that he's going to go away. But he says, that's the context when he says, I'm going to give you the helper. The Holy Spirit is going to be a gift to you and a promise to you, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And that's where the Jesus says he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pick up the story in the day of... It says this. When the day of Pentecost came, all the disciples were together in one place. Now Jesus had gone back into heaven. And remember, the disciples are in the upper room and they're waiting together and they're meeting together to receive the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a noise like a strong blowing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something like flames of fire that were separated and stood over each person. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak different languages by the power that the Holy Spirit was giving them. Now, there were some religious Jews staying in Jerusalem who were from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a great crowd came together, and they were all surprised because each one heard them speaking in his own tongue and his own language. Now, this is what happens. These disciples are meeting together. They're being together. They're in an upper room. They're afraid and they're frightened because what happened to Jesus, probably they're thinking, that's going to happen to me. That's going to be happening to us. And they're afraid and they're meeting together. And it says, suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and it's like a strong blowing wind coming from heaven. And it filled the house. And not only did it fill the house, it said that everybody who was in Jerusalem, you see, at that time, it was a feast. It was a festival. There were thousands of people in Jerusalem at that time. And the noise and the wind and the vibrations caused everybody to come and see what's going on. What is happening? And that is the story that we have here. Now, Peter's amazing. You see, Peter was the man who got out of the boat to go and step on the water to see Jesus. He was a brave disciple. He was always looking to kind of say the right thing and do the right thing and follow Jesus' example. He was a brave disciple. And even when Jesus was arrested, he was the one who went up to the courtyard and he was actually followed Jesus most of the way. But when a young girl came up to him and said, "Do you know Jesus?" He said, "No, no." And he denied that he knew Jesus. And three times people asked him if he was a follower of Jesus. And he denied Jesus. So even though he was brave, he still was afraid when he was asked and questioned. But in this story, once he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, once the Holy Spirit has come, the Peter from then is transformed into this Peter who stands up and addresses the crowd. And he speaks to the crowd. And what he says in the story is that Peter then explains to the crowd who Jesus was. What happened with Jesus, the story of Jesus. He explains, because they were all Jews there, he explained to them how Jesus had been prophesied, what was going to happen to Jesus had been prophesied in the Bible and been told about. And he explains the scriptures to them and he explains what happened with Jesus, how he had died and come back to life. And it says that Peter preaches to this crowd. Now, when we think of crowds, we might think of a few people or the number of people in this room. But it says that there were at least 3,000 people, because that's how many people decided to follow Jesus that day. So Peter, who, when questioned by a young lady, was afraid to say that he belonged to Jesus, now, about 6.5 weeks later, he's standing up in front of all these people, and he's telling people boldly about Jesus, about the story of Jesus, what Jesus has done, and what a difference he can make in their lives. And we see just in that one man, in Peter, the difference between when he was before he was filled with the Holy Spirit and then what happened to him after he was baptized and filled with the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised him. And it's an amazing story. And through the book of Acts, we understand more times of when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they give accounts of what the different experiences that happened when people were baptized and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, for me, I remember the first time when I encountered the Holy Spirit. I was brought up in a church, I was brought up in a Christian family, and I knew about the Holy Spirit. Someone had taught me some things about the Holy Spirit, but for me, I'd never experienced the Holy Spirit for myself. And I came to Swansea as a student, as many of you are here, great choice, by the way. Swansea's the best place to come. And I'd come to Swansea as a student, and I got to know Sarah and Julian. And I was so glad that they began to explain what it was to be filled and to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there was one time when we were in their house, in their front room, and it was just me and Julian. And he said, we can pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember standing there, I was standing up and there was a sofa behind me. So I just stood there and, you know, like a lot of people, you're a little bit nervous. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen, but you're safe. And it had been explained very well. And I just wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And Julian prayed for me. And at that moment, I remember it clearly. I felt like a weight that just came on me. And it was like a weight that just kind of went from my head all the way down to my toes. And I'd never experienced this before. It was amazing. And thankfully, I was standing right in front of a chair so I could just sit down in the chair. I didn't have to stand. You know, I just could. There was something that was going to take my weight because I felt the weight of the Holy Spirit upon me. And for me, that was my experience and the beginning of my journey of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And lots of different people have lots of different experiences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's something that Jesus promised. He said, I want to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that God wants for all of us to have. You see, when Jesus gave the promise, it was for all the disciples, not just the ones in the Bible, but for all the ones that would come after him. And that includes us. And Jesus says that promise is for us. Isn't that amazing? There's a promise of Jesus, the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit for all of us, and we can all receive it. And we all experience that in different ways. And there are different experiences, and there are different ways we can express that, but it's the same Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us. And so this morning, I just want to highlight a few areas of the difference that it makes in our lives when the Holy Spirit comes to be, when we come to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like Peter, we could see that very clearly. He went from a man who was brave in his own strength to being bold and confident in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we saw it in the story of Peter. And in the Bible, there are lots of illustrations and lots of examples of how we can, the difference that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives. The first one is this: power for living. The power to live our lives. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to do life on our own. The Holy Spirit comes inside us and helps us in every situation, every day, in all the different things that we face in our lives. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, this is a verse of promise. He says this in Zechariah: you will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Jesus says, I've got a power for living that can help you every day. Whatever challenges we face, we have a power for living to help us in the challenges that we face in our lives. We have the closeness of Jesus. We can experience the closeness and the reality. We're looking at a series. This is the real life. The reality of Jesus in our lives helping us to live. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely want that. I love that. I love it that Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, comes to live inside of me and helps me how to do life. One of my heroes is Bear Grylls. And he tells in the book about facing up, about how he, this is the book of how he climbed Mount Everest. At the time, I think he was the youngest person to climb Mount Everest. And even now, there's very few people who've done this. So it's an amazing achievement. And in the book, he talks about how, as he's going up the mountain, there's different base camps and different levels that you get to. And as you're going up the mountain, you begin to realize that after a while, you can't do it on your own. And you need to put on your oxygen of air. And they all take it with them, but they get to a point where they're getting, their body's getting weak, and they know that they need the air in the oxygen to carry on. And that's a great reminder for me that in my life, I don't need to try. That verse, remember that verse said, not in your own strength, not in your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit is like the oxygen that we need to breathe and we need to live every day. His Spirit is helping us every day. Life is so much richer having God with us to help us every single day. The second way that we are the Holy Spirit, the difference that it makes is like our sat-nav. Now, there are many, many different ways that the Holy Spirit makes a difference in our lives. I've just highlighted a few for us this morning. The second one is this, is like a sat-nav. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're traveling somewhere, I actually quite like to get a map out. I need to get a map out and see where I'm going and kind of try and picture where I'm going in my head. But the reality is, I don't really need to do that. Because we all have sat-navs in our car, or we have sat-navs in our phones, or we have... Some people have got an iWatch. You might even have it in your watch. And what's the thing about a sat-nav? Is it you just put the postcode in and it tells you where to go. And Jesus says, having the Holy Spirit in your life is like that. You see, there are always choices to make, aren't there? Where should we go to university? What course shall I do? What job shall I get when I finish my university? Who shall I marry? Where shall I live? What does God want me to do now in my life or for the future in my life? There's always these choices and decisions that we have to make. And God says, I've given you a built-in sat-nav to help you to know where to go and to guide you every step of the way. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reveals on our journey of life what we need to do and where we need to go. A few weeks ago in the summer on the holiday, my wife and I were on holiday and we went to a place called Morecambe in northwest of England. And it's a seaside town and we thought we'll go and get some fish and chips. So like anybody, you think a seaside town, fish and chip shops, there's bound to be hundreds of them. So we drove into Morecambe, without any planning by the way. We drove into Morecambe and there's a long promenade along the front. And as we were driving along, we saw a fish and chip shop closed. So another one, closed. We saw another one, had been closed down. Another one, not open. And we were like, this is a fish and chip shop town. It's Saturday night. There's no fish and chips. What are we going to do? We didn't know where we were. We didn't have a clue where we were going. We just drove on the road into Morecambe and thought that's the best thing to do. Thankfully, though, one of my children said, let's just Google a fish and chip shop, Dad. So Carrie's got out her phone, Googled a fish and chip shop. We've been driving up and down this road for about 20 minutes. Now we're getting really hungry. Within about 45 seconds, we were outside a fish and chip shop. Because she Googled where to go, she got the postcode, put it in the sat-nav in her phone, we went down one street, along another street, and there we had the best fish and chips in town. And it was amazing. And there we were, wondering what to do, driving up and down, don't know where to go, but we had the answer all the time. We just had to access that answer. We just had to apply ourselves and say, let's not try and do it ourselves. Let's actually do it in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit's power. That's how we do life. Let's do life in the Holy Spirit's power. And that's how we can do life. And that's how God gives us a sat-nav. There are some ways that he does that. One of the ways is that he illuminates truth to us from the Bible. It says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak his own words, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit, as a sat-nav, guides us in our lives is he reveals the truth of the Bible and he illuminates what the Bible says to us and he helps us to understand what God is saying through the Bible. Another way is through some gifts. There's the gift of the prophetic. I mentioned it earlier and it's one of the gifts. Now, I'm not going to say anything about it because next week Julian's going to unpack all the spiritual gifts. So I encourage you to come along next week and hear about the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. But that's another way that God uses the sat-nav to help us and to show us how to make the right decisions and how to stay in his path and his journey. Another way that the Holy Spirit, the difference that being baptized in the Holy Spirit helps us is it enables us in our prayer life. It enables us when we pray. You know, sometimes we're praying for things and we don't always express very clearly with our words, do we, what to say and how to say it. And it says this, should be a verse there. It's not there. It says this. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself speaks to God for us, even begs God for us with deep feelings that words cannot explain. God can see what's in our hearts and he knows what's in the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit speaks to God for his people in a way that God wants. So the Holy Spirit helps us sometimes with our words. Sometimes he interprets what we're feeling. You know, you're praying specifically for a situation and you can't express exactly what you feel. The Holy Spirit interprets that and takes that as a prayer. They understand that. He understands that. And also there is the spiritual language of tongues. Another reason to come next week and hear about one of the gifts is the tongues. And sometimes it's a new language. But all of these ways, the Bible says the Spirit helps us when we pray. And he gives us a language, and it's how we can communicate clearly with God. And it's one of the ways that we're being baptized in the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life and helps us when we pray. Another way that it helps us is it brings the Bible alive to us. And very simply, 3 weeks ago, Matthew unpacked all of that means on October, I think it was October the 5th. It was the first Sunday in October. So if you want to know about that point, just download that talk. It's on the website. Because Matthew spends a whole morning explaining how the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible and reveals God's word and all the different ways that he does that to us. And he illuminates what is said in the scriptures. And then the last way that I find that God helps us, for me, for this morning, is gives us confidence to witness. Jesus said in Acts, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you'll receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and every part of the earth. And the power that the Holy Spirit gives us, one of the ways it helps us is to witness to our friends and to our neighbors. It's how to talk to them. Sometimes you think, I don't know how to speak to my friends and neighbours about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit gives us the words to say. It gives us the promptings to know when to say something and when to say something different. When to tell a story of healing and when to tell a story of what God has done in another area of your life. He gives you what to say. Because it's a promise from Jesus. Jesus says, you'll receive power to be my witnesses. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to be the witnesses for him in this life, with our friends and with our neighbours, with our community, in Swansea, in the people around us, in the family members that we know. All the people that have been placed around us, God empowers us with the Holy Spirit, gives us the boldness, like Peter, to share about what God has done. See, what Peter did was he explained the story of Jesus to the people that were there, that were understanding, the Jews. And that's why he went into the scriptures about the prophecies of Joel and King David, because that was what the people understood. And when you're with your friends in college or in work or your neighbors or your family, the Holy Spirit will give you the words and the right things to do to speak to the people around us and to tell them what Jesus has done for you. And these are all ways, these are some of the ways, these not all the ways, these are some of the ways that having the Holy Spirit fill us, helps us in our living, helps us to live our lives emboldened and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And just as we finish, there's a verse in Ephesians and it says this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I like that glass there because it reminds me of what it actually means is it's not just a one-time filling. It's an ongoing, continual filling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus encourages us to say, be filled with the Holy Spirit and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It reminds me a little bit like of what it's like when you're a student. Now, students, this afternoon, as soon as we finish this meeting, there is a student lunch for you. And you will have all the food that you need as a student to probably get you for about an hour and a half. I mean, it will fill you up. It would fill me up for the rest of the day. But I remember when you're a student, you are always hungry. So you'll probably come to the and have a great feast, but on the way home, you might stop up in Subway and quickly pick up a quick sub, or you'll get home and get out that cold pasta that you had last night, and you'll just reheat it because you're still hungry. And then when you're going to bed, you might have some toast. And students, and teenagers as well, they're continually hungry, aren't they? Continually hungry. Nothing satisfies them. They're still, particularly if you're teenagers, they're still growing. One big meal is never enough. They want to have three or four, and it's just a continual hunger. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, be hungry for me. Be hungry for my presence. Be hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what it means to be filled continually. That's what it means to have an ongoing request to God and say, please fill me with your Holy Spirit again. And we're going to do that in a minute. We're going to provide an opportunity now for some of you. This might be the first time that you fill with the Holy Spirit. And like me, when I was so glad someone explained to me what was going to happen and what it was like and explained to me. Because my life has been different because I've had the power of the Holy Spirit in my life helping me in all the different things that I've done. And many people here share the same thing. But if you've never experienced that this morning, there'll be an opportunity this morning to ask God to fill you for the first time. But also an opportunity for all of us to have a refill, because we're hungry for God. We want more of God in our lives. We want more of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Doing all those things, confidence to witness, helping us in our prayer life, power for living, the sat-nav of where to go, illuminating the scriptures, and many other things that the Holy Spirit does. And so if you're like me, I'm hungry and I'm already standing, but I'm going to invite you this morning just to stand with me. If you'd like to, let's all stand together. And we're just going to take a moment. Jesus said in Luke, if you have a child and he asks for a fish, which of you would give him a snake? Or if your child asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? It says, even though you're like that and you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. He wants us to, he responds to our desires and our hunger to give us the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, before we ask God to come in his power and his presence, we're just going to take a moment in the quietness because he's a Holy Spirit. And as I said at the beginning, the Holy Spirit is God. And they're just going to provide a moment for you just to, in the quietness of your own heart, ask God to say sorry for the things you've done wrong and ask for his forgiveness for the areas in your life that need them. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for the things we've done wrong. Thank you that when you died on the cross, you came to take away all the things and forgive us for all the things we've done wrong. May we receive your forgiveness this morning. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer and just ask God to come and fill us and baptize us in the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it'll be the first time. And for others, it'll be a renewal or a refreshing, a refilling. Holy Spirit, we are hungry for you. We thank you that you respond to that. So we pray in these moments that you would fill us and baptize us with yourself, with the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on us, we pray.